So, which game shall we play first? Jeopardy or Trivial Pursuit? How about Jeopardy? You all know Jeopardy. We all know Jeopardy, almost all of us. You know the rules of the game. Your answer must be in the form of a question. Good job, good job. And then as you go through the category, a certain category, the numbers, the dollars go up and they get harder. The answers get harder. So you ready? So the category is Thanksgiving, past and present. Thanksgiving, past and present. For $100, signed by Abraham Lincoln on October 3rd, 1863. It's not the Emancipation Proclamation. The first Thanksgiving. What is the first Thanksgiving Proclamation? Okay. For $200, this Abraham Lincoln cabinet member with Glastonbury roots, real easy, complimented Secretary of State William Seward, who is credited with writing that first Thanksgiving Day Proclamation. Who is? Gideon Wells. Gideon Wells. For $300, Canada, the Virgin Islands, Liberia, Germany, and Japan. Who else has a national Thanksgiving? Very good, Nancy. For $400, this 74-year-old magazine editor wrote letters to politicians for over 40 years for a unified designated national holiday of Thanksgiving. Tough one. Any trivia people here? Who is Sarah Hale? She, for 40 years, she kept writing letters, and finally Lincoln took her advice. Last one, for $500, the geographic location for what is arguably the model for all subsequent festivals of Thanksgiving in the Judeo-Christian tradition. No? What is the promised land? Listen now as Kate carefully, listen carefully as Kate reads our lesson. You can follow along if you would like on the front cover. Listen carefully as this amazing passage gives us lessons for us as individuals, but also as a nation, how we should celebrate Thanksgiving.
When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us, the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of the tithe, giving it to the Levites, the aliens, the orphans, and the widows, so that they may eat their fill within your towns. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion from the house, and I have given it to the Levites, the resident aliens, the orphans, and the widows, in accordance with your entire commandment that you commanded me. This very day, the Lord your God is commanding you to observe these statutes and ordinances. So observe them diligently with all your heart and with all your soul. Today, the Lord has obtained your agreement to be his treasured people as he promised you, and to keep his commandments, for him to set you high above all nations that he has made, in praise and in fame and in honor, and for you to be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised.
So you all ready for double jeopardy? The category is Thanksgiving cities or countries. Thanksgiving cities or countries. For $200, where David's family on his mother's side had Thanksgiving dinner at the same house for over 80 years. Doris knows. New Britain. Over 80 years, same house. For $400, where David had Thanksgiving dinner with eight other Americans while attending the 1976 World Council of Churches Assembly. Nairobi, Kenya. It was a revolving restaurant on top of a conference center. We were there for the Worldwide Assembly. We had Thanksgiving dinner together. For $600, I think I've talked about this in a sermon maybe 12 years ago, where David had shrimp scampi and key lime pie for Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant adjacent to the table where sat Paul Simon. Siesta Key, Sarasota Siesta Key, where we went for Thanksgiving to visit Jane's grandmother. For $800, the new house for the traditional Taylor Chase family gathering.
Your house.
Glastonbury. We got 20 coming on Thursday.
Oh my goodness.
And finally, for $1,000, the country where church member and World War II veteran Walter Grunder ate an expired Thanksgiving dinner at his airbase, from which he and his crew flew the B-17 on dangerous bomb runs over Germany.
What is Belgium?
What is Italy? Those who were there for the brown bag lunch, what is Italy? This past Wednesday, we had a brown bag lunch, sort of a belated Veterans Day commemoration, and our speaker was our church member, Walter Grunder, a mere 95 years, who had spoken to our vacation Bible school children this summer when the theme was superheroes. The greatest generation were truly superheroes for their courage, their sacrifice, fighting to preserve the founding ideals and values of this nation. What a wonderful presentation by Walter as he stood behind the podium in Schultz Hall for 45 minutes. He recounted his wartime memories with extraordinary detail. Walter was the navigator for the Flying Fortress, the B-17 bomber, flying deep into enemy territory when strategic bombing was in its infancy and extremely dangerous. From descriptions of his clothing to the equipment on the B-17 to food, Walter had us enthralled. And Walter even, yes, included a Thanksgiving dinner memory from his time in Italy. And yes, one Thanksgiving dinner, he recalls that the food they served had expired. And a few days later, it unfortunately became readily apparent to Walter and his friends why it had expired. But Walter was still so very thankful. He knew there were soldiers in much more severe conditions, in much less comfortable surroundings, including his brother who was on the front lines in France, trying to keep warm by wrapping himself in his sleeping bag, cutting out holes in the bag for his arms. Then, without much fanfare or drama, Walter shared how the flak from the anti-aircraft guns tore through one leg, ending his tour of duty. Two footnotes to Walter and George's story, which brings us back to the lessons we should learn, lessons we must learn, as we once again celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. First, out of curiosity, I inquired as to Walter's origins. His parents immigrated to this country in 1920, arriving on a boat at Ellis Island. Walter was the son of immigrants. And second, as far as I can tell, Georgia and Walter never miss a Sunday here. And as I did today, as Walter drops Georgia off by the back lobby, Georgia almost always has a plastic bag heavily weighted down with canned goods. Today they had a turkey as well for dropping off in the baskets in our back lobby. When you have come into the land, you shall put your harvest in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. With signs and wonders, God brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce, giving it to the aliens, the orphans, and the widows, so that they may eat their fill within your towns, the Lord God will command you to observe these statutes and these ordinances. So observe them diligently with all your heart and with all your soul. Yes, there are other nations that have an annual Thanksgiving Day holiday, but here in America, the Thanksgiving Day tradition is uniquely both a civic holiday but also a sacred religious holiday. You see, our Thanksgiving is deeply rooted in the Judeo-Christian tradition. The people of Israel wandered in that wilderness for 40 years, but then God delivered them to that land of milk and honey, that promised land. And he freely gave to them their bountiful homeland. God demanded, after he'd done that, he demanded that the people keep the statutes and the ordinances that had been given to them. With all their heart and with all their soul, the people were expected to worship God, to give thanks for their many blessings, and then to freely share their blessings, particularly with the stranger and the foreigner, with the widowed, with women, with children, those without voice in society. Well, our nation's story is so closely parallel to that biblical story. Our forebears left that oppressive old world and created a new world of hope and opportunity here in New England. And out of the New England wilderness was carved a new promised land, which would then continue to welcome wave after wave after wave of wandering immigrants seeking a new life in this melting pot of hopes and dreams, justice and equality, freedom and opportunity. For over 240 years, this nation has been that very special city set upon a hill, that model society, that beacon of hope for all the world to see and to emulate and to follow. To be sure, these words from America the Beautiful that we sang, God, mend thy every flaw, acknowledge that the United States is, of course, not perfect. Over these 2.5 centuries, we have clearly made some mistakes, from our treatment of Native Americans to slavery to injustice against women and immigrants and other marginalized groups. Moreover, and I could be wrong on this, but other voices seem to be echoing the same sentiment. Our nation does seem to have lost its way. We are perhaps wandering in a wilderness yet again, forgetting our founding ideals, forgetting our biblical values, which have been the bedrock of this young nation. One of those voices is someone who I read or listen to, New York Times columnist David Brooks. He recently wrote, "America's Judeo-Christian ethic celebrated neighborliness over pagan combativeness, humility as a basis of good character, not narcissism. It believed in taking in the stranger because we were all strangers once. It dreamed of universal democracy as a global fulfillment of a providential plan." Is our founding national ethic in jeopardy, and maybe even in double jeopardy? Has our nation's neighborliness been lost? Has humility been replaced as the basis of good character? Are we going to stop taking in the stranger? Should we not renew the pursuit to be that beacon of hope to all the world? Or would that be a trivial pursuit, or even a hopeless pursuit? I don't think so, and neither do I think you do. A few weeks ago, Kate and I preached a sermon in which we told the story about the Houston police officer who lost his life in the recovery work following Hurricane Harvey. As he left his wife for the last time early that Sunday morning, he said to her, "We have work to do." Friends, we have work to do. We don't have all the answers, but here's the good news. Again, to use the words of David Brooks, "I think America's traditional biblical ethic is still lurking somewhere in the national DNA. And I think our national DNA becomes quite evident in our response to natural disasters. So I close with a story about our national DNA in action. Began last fall after Hurricane Matthew. Dolores Porter and her husband had to abandon their one-story house in Princeville, North Carolina, after the flood waters had risen 10 feet. But then this past summer, passing by their house, Dolores was overjoyed to see people working at her house. She gingerly stepped onto the exposed floor joists. She found a group of young volunteers installing support beams in the 90-degree heat. "I will take a hug from everybody," she said, former school teacher. "If you don't mind my perspiration, I definitely don't mind yours." Well, this fall, that same agency deployed more teams of young volunteers to Texas to aid in the recovery following Harvey. Meanwhile, back in North Carolina, the town manager of Princeville said this as he saw the team of volunteers rebuild homes and rebuild lives, sort of like our mission groups do. "People are hugging the community. It's like a love fest here." So who did Dolores Porter see working in her newly framed house in that 90-degree heat? Well, the two dozen young adults, men and women, each had on a light blue t-shirt with the words, "Islamic Relief, USA." The women, wish I could show you the pictures, were sporting nail guns, saws, hammers. Each had a headscarf. We don't have all the answers, friends, but we do know that our work is not trivial. It is the sacred work of reclaiming the founding ideals of the first Thanksgiving in the Promised Land, and reclaiming the founding ideals of this great nation. Our God commands us, and diligently with heart and soul, we readily reply. We will offer all praise and thanks to a good and gracious God. We will bring our first fruits to God for the needs of others. We will welcome the stranger and the foreigner into our country and into our towns. And we will care for the widowed and for children and any who have need each and every day. Amen.